My guest at this time is David Field, an expert on the aviation industry and a longtime aviation reporter. We want to get his insight on just how much chaos this ongoing volcanic eruption in Iceland is causing the airline industry, as flights across the Atlantic have been grounded for days, and for many airlines, it could continue indefinitely as long as the ash keeps heading up into the atmosphere. And David, when this story really first made major national news, they said it was the worst travel disruption since 9/11. Now some are saying it's even worse than that. How can you even describe just how much chaos this is causing the industry?
It's difficult to quantify how much chaos this is causing. It's several hundred billion dollars a day in outright losses. But because of the nature of air travel, that number, that dollar amount of damages is going to go up each day simply because not only do we have direct losses, you know, money not coming in, but there's money that's being spent by the airlines. And it goes up every day as these airplanes sit on the ground and can't bring in any money.
Do you remember anything like this afflicting the industry in the last few decades?
Yeah. You know, we had 9/11. We had the SARS crisis, sudden acute respiratory stress syndrome. Both of those crises were relatively short-lived. This is worse in some ways simply because the timing that happened, you know, SARS happened during a low travel season. 9/11 was during a low travel season, and everyone was suffering at the same time. This is at the beginning of a peak travel season. It's having ripple effects. You know, you can't fly an airplane from London to Paris. That's damages. But the airplane that was supposed to go from London to Paris after Paris was supposed to go on somewhere else. It can't do that. The European airlines are being crippled by this. It's going to have a long-term effect financially on the bottom line.
David, let's just look at it in a best-case scenario. Say the volcano stops within the next few days, and then in a few days after that, I think it's possible that the ash cloud could clear. How long would it be before they're back on pace?
Oh, they could be back on pace in a couple of days. As a matter of fact, reports from Europe this morning suggest that the ash is beginning to diminish, that there's less ash being pumped into the atmosphere, and that a small number of flights will be permitted during this week, but it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a full week before you get everyone going where they were going because you've got days and days and days worth of passengers who are simply not able to move. So it's going to be 5, 6, 7 days before you get things back to what's called normal.
David, it would appear that due to consolidation, mergers, and so forth, that among other factors, that the airlines are doing better than they were probably a few years ago. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But when you have to take a hit this big, are there any airlines in danger of having to fold?
That I can't say. Bear in mind that the worst hit is to airlines in Europe rather than airlines in the U.S. And consolidation over there is taking place at a very different pace. And probably there will be some smaller airlines that that go under because of this. But it's going to be a while before we know exactly who's going to die and who's not going to die.
In terms of specific countries that are hit by this, are any of them especially vulnerable right now? It seems like all of this is kind of aimed right at Heathrow. If you look at the map and some of the wind patterns here, so is London taking a particularly huge hit, or is it just affecting everyone because ultimately you got to have flights out of all these major cities?
Everyone is taking a hit. I think we're more keenly aware of London because it's such a popular destination for U.S. travelers and because it's Heathrow is one of the largest airports in Europe. But bear in mind, Paris is also taking a very bad hit, and so is Frankfurt, Germany. Those are the three major hubs for Western Europe, three of the busiest airports in the world. But Heathrow is taking a very bad hit indeed. I think that you're going to see local impacts as well. You know, companies that are dependent upon the airports for their business also taking a hit. And we won't know who's the most affected, who's the worst affected for a couple of days.
David, we saw not long ago that I believe it was Spirit Air that was saying that it would charge $45 per carry-on luggage. Now we saw some lawmakers up on Capitol Hill say, well, we're not going to let that happen. We may have let it happen with the checked baggage, but not the carry-on. And now you have at least five carriers that I've seen saying, no, we are not going down that road. We will not charge for carry-on baggage. What kind of debate is going on inside the industry right now about whether to charge for that or not?
Oh, there's very little debate. Once they saw Senator Schumer come out and make it very clear that he was going to legislatively block the airlines from charging for carry-on bags, suddenly they became good citizens. And bear in mind that Spirit Airlines, which is based down in the Miami area, the Fort Lauderdale area, Spirit's always been a rebel. It's always been a nonconformist. And the major airlines have always looked down on Spirit for doing things they probably never had the guts to do. I suspect that some of the large airlines thought about this very, very seriously. They probably weren't going to do it simply because the mechanics of it were going to be complex. Spirit is the Motel 8 of airlines, and it gets a lower income, lower social status passenger than American, United, Delta, JetBlue, airlines like that. And I think after Schumer got as angry as he got, and after the general public reaction came out, very few airlines were willing to try this. But bear in mind that Spirit was one of the very first to charge for checked bags, and now everyone charges for checked bags. So it may be a rebel, and it may be an outlier, and it may be a bad guy and a nonconformist, but some of the things it does become mainstream, and it's only because of the legislative reaction that charging for carry-on bags has not spread.
And David, let me blend the two stories together now in our exit question here. Will the huge losses that these airlines are suffering, as you mentioned, perhaps most feverishly in Europe, but also the U.S. domestic carriers as a result of this shutdown of the airwaves over the North Atlantic, going to lead to increased fares, increased fees, that sort of thing?
Oh, there will be more fees. Airlines are looking wherever they can to impose fees, and it's largely a matter of public acceptance. You can't say that fares will go up or go down because of one specific minor action. Fares are set by very large economic forces, and something like charging for bags being carried on, or even charging for bags being checked, that's not going to have an effect on fares. Airlines will be hurting for revenue because of the losses on international routes because of the volcanic ash. It's entirely possible that we'll see fewer discount fares to Europe this summer.
David, as always, we greatly appreciate your insight. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
David Field, a longtime reporter in the aviation field, aviation industry expert. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.